is on the way. My help is on the way.
Michelle to the main office.
Where is Michelle?
I don't know. She's out there.
Principal calling Michelle.
All right, everyone. How you doing? You're the ones who are making that last trek for the year. It's our third service here this week. People might think we're Southern Baptist or something. So we're going to have you, everybody stand up that's here. We're going to close out this year, 2018, in worship of Christ. Let's begin with a prayer. Lord God, here we are. Hard to believe, once again, we are coming down to the end of another year. But, God, that gives us a great amount of possibility as these transitions kind of make us say, all right, let's go ahead and renew all last year. We even sing a song, Should Old Acquaintance Be Forgot, which is kind of demented. But anyway, God, we just pray that the thing that we won't lose sight of is the fact that regardless of whether the calendar turns or not, that you remain the same and you love us. And so, God, through this time of worship today, hear our prayer, hear our spirits just rise as we do praise and worship you as a collective church for this last time in 2018. God, we just pray that your word, eye has not seen nor ear heard what the Father has prepared for those who love him in this service and in the year to come. In your name we pray. Amen.
Together for my good. You There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
You are good. The truth.
believe you are the way.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for just bringing us through another year, and just all the, just like we're seeing right here where it says, it's a new horizon, and may our eyes be set on you. And God, we're going to take our fears and doubts, and we're going to take all that stuff that we kind of shuffle aside or have buried under presents and New Year celebrations and other kinds of things, but they're there. And so, God, we're not hiding anything from you. Maybe just lift that up to you and just have you take them, that this year be a year of just blessing and togetherness closer with you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to let you sit down if you want to. At this time, we're going to go ahead and honor God further by receiving God's tithe and our offerings.
Who you are, it's who you are. 'cause you're perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. To us. Sing it out with me.
You are perfect in all.
Right. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children for our Sunday school. And everyone else, just say hello to those and say an early Happy New Year. Right, we're an early Happy New Year to everyone. It's here, whether we want to witness it or not, but Happy New Year. Thank you, Keith. A couple other things. We want to welcome our visitors. If anyone's visiting, welcome. I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas and good celebration there, and you tolerated family members, or they tolerated you, whatever, however it went, but you had a great time. But again, if you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. We hope that you'll fill out a card, and we have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our worship here today. A couple other things. You can see the other information about January 20th, Parish Foundation, which we will serve there, and some other information there about Footprints Team, Angel Gowns, Youth Group. Next meeting will be after the youth rally, and there's information about that that many of you know. The emergency rotating shelter, we will be March 11th through 17th. So if you're interested, please contact Joanne Edwards at our footprints at havencc.org. You have an insert about the financial peace that they're going to meet, Financial Peace University, by Dave Ramsey. Classes are going to start the 10th. But in order to order materials, if you're interested in that, and we do suggest, if you like to, for couples to do it, families, it's a great opportunity. But you can contact Debbie DiRigilio, but she needs to know by this Friday so that she can go ahead and order the materials. If by some chance you forget, please don't try to forget, because we want you to get started. But it's a great opportunity to connect, and it'll run 9 weeks. And when we've had that before, the financial piece that's in here, it's been very well received, and many people all over the world have benefited financially and being able to never have to. How many would like to never have to worry about money again? Okay, so it gives you some of the skills, and they're biblically based, and Dave Ramsey is a very strong Christian and understands. So if you'd like to be part of that, go ahead. Women's Sunday morning Bible study, 8:30, starting in the mornings, starting January 6th, and they'll be starting a 7-week study on the book of Philippians. And so if you're interested in that, you can also contact Joanne Edwards as well. All right, we have some prayer. Some prayers that we want to lift up. We have for all those battling addictions and those who have lost loved ones due to addiction. Jen Legullo asked for the youth group at the rally next weekend. And I know this year, pray for no snow, because they had a blizzard down there last year. Melinda, for safe travels for Ian, who goes back to the military. So his days of sleeping in and having really good food are over, right? He's enjoyed being home. We've enjoyed having him. Joanne, for Nancy, a new home. For Joanne and Tim, losses this week. And for Marge, lost her pet, and to lift her up, to give her peace. As many of you know, when you're close to animals, that happens. We want to lift up Donna in prayers. She had healing from her surgery. And for Lewis, had a heart procedure. So both of them are from our church, and we're asking for prayer in those areas. We want to continue to lift up Jordan Cole in prayer for God's divine healing in that area, and pray for that family. Also, I want you to lift up a good friend of mine. Some of you, if you've been around for a while, may remember this name way back almost 10 years ago when we were in the middle school, Carolyn Garwood. Carolyn is a lady I became very, very close to in Lewis. She has been a supporter of my ministry, even when we did Coath Ministries and other stuff. She's been a supporter of my ministry when I was her pastor in Lewis, as well as starting this church and also in other ministry ventures. And Carolyn had a miraculous healing many years ago in remission from cancer, and that has come back. She had a great Christmas with her family, her daughters and granddaughters, and then stopped at the hospital on the way back. So they are waiting for an opening at Christiana Hospice for her to go into. So please pray for her and her daughter Anne and family as this may be the time where she's getting ready to make that journey home. And so she's been a great friend of mine. And so I ask that you just lift her in your prayers during this time. All right? Okay, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we lift these needs up before you, we ask that you just receive all those who are on our prayer list, for those who are in our hearts and our minds, for those who are traveling in this busy travel holiday season. God, I just ask that that you just be with us, that you grant to us. I think we all kind of feel like, okay, here we go, one more, and then it's time to make the donuts again. And we start that. If you know that joke, then you've been around for a long time. But God, we just kind of feel some of us are exhausted from a busy holiday season. Some of us are just looking forward to just putting this year behind us. Maybe it's those who are right now experiencing great loss, those who are dealing with struggles and sicknesses, those who are looking at loved ones who are passing away, those who have pets and others who are dealing with surgery and other kinds of things that they're struggling with. But whatever it is, God, help us not to just look at those moments in 2018 that were tragedies or difficulties. Help us not look at what's coming up as being difficult, but help us look to you. As we sang, there's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. Let us be set on you, that all things fall by the wayside when we have you as our Lord and Savior. For this and all things, we ask for the rest of this time to be dedicated completely to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
This year, this is my year, our year. Can you feel it? More motivation.
Motivation. Motivation.
Synergy.
Synergy. Synergy.
Adventure.
Adventure. Adventure.
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Responsibility.
Intimacy.
Intimacy. Intimacy.
Achievement.
Achievement. Achievement.
Advancement.
Advancement. Advancement.
Determination. Focus. This is my year.
Honey, so? What do you think?
Motivation, integrity, determination, synergy.
Come on, honey. You're not even listening to me. I mean, I have a poster and everything this time. This is perfect. I mean business. Jack?
This is my year.
All right, this is my year. How many feel that way? This is my year. How many did that 2018? This is my year. How many did that 1975? This is my year. Okay, so many of us may have that feeling, this is my year. Don't you love little Jack's reaction, Jack? Anyway, so I wonder how many takes that talk. But anyway, we are, as I said, looking at a new year, and the new year tends to be one of those things that's up and down, and different. So how do you close out 2018? We've got one of those years that that church budgets love. You got that one more five Sundays in a December, and people who want to give and get that last donation say, oh, one more, here it is. But apart from that, it's like this feeling that's kind of like, what do we do with this year? We had this build-up to Christmas, and we had a great Christmas. Those of you who were part of our Christmas Eve service, that's the easiest message I ever have to give when I have those kids around, you know what I mean? And it's fun. But and we get that whole lift up from the holiday season, and yet here we are with kind of like that transitional week that's here. So what do we talk about? So I figured I'd talk about this is my year, because don't you want this to be the best year of your life? How many would like this to be the best year of life? Like, think about it. This time last year, somebody was working as a mechanic and is now almost a billionaire. Remember that guy who won that Powerball? Remember that guy? Don't you wish you were on his Christmas list, don't you? And so it could be your year for that. Who knows? But we'll see. But there's always an interesting part about the new year. And when we look at the new year, there are two approaches that people like to take, okay, in this. There are those who are dreamers and those who are realists, okay? Dreamers and realists. And you say, okay, Jack, what's the difference there? So let me give you a difference of how they approach the new year. Dreamers will go ahead and say, this is my year. So if you're a dreamer right now, you're like, yes, this is my year. Realists will say, you said that last year. Okay? Dreamers like the word, wow. Everybody say that with me. Let's see who's a dreamer. Wow. Okay, the ones who are really loud, you're the dreamers. But the realists go, how? Everybody say how. Okay, there you can hear the realist, how? Okay, you get that kind of reaction there. So, and here's a funny thing often about dreamers and realists. You know what happens? They get married. So often they're together, and one dreams and one brings them back down to earth. But as we begin this new year, I want to lead us toward an idea that can kind of bridge both the dreamer and the realist into one area, so we can both launch off, so it can be our year together. And we need to look through a special lens of a question that I'm going to give to you in a little bit about that's going to bring us together. But the main focus of this lens that we're going to look about is a word, one little word called possibility. Everybody say possibility. There we go. And what I want to share with you is something that's very interesting, because possibility is an amazing word when we look at it. Because we've got to look at this, and here's some warnings as realists and as dreamers as well. Because remember, dreamers are, wow, it's my year. And the realists bring it down a little bit, how, and you said that last year. But the warnings that are for us is that possibility helps us as realists. Those of you who would say you're a realist? I would say you're pretty much a realist. Okay, there we go. Okay, so as a realist, possibility helps you not become a pessimist. Okay, because realists are very easily pessimists. When you have somebody who comes in, it's like, hey, guess what? It's going to happen. I'm going to do this. And you go, how can you possibly do that? There's no way. You ruin people's dreams, okay, at times, because you can become a pessimist. And you're laughing because you know it's true. All right, So you got to watch out for that. So, and the other thing is, pessimists don't get invited to parties because they're not fun to be around that many times. But anyway, so if you don't have anything for New Year's Eve, you're a pessimist. Dreamers. Now, dreamers, there's a problem with you guys too. Dreamers are often like this. Dreamers need possibility, because possibility helps you avoid never taking action. Because dreamers like to kick back and go, it's going to happen. Yay. They live in fairy tale world, happily ever after. And so realists and dreamers can help each other, but the thing that helps both of them is possibility. Possibility helps us move on as a dreamer from just an illusion and helps us keep from becoming a pessimist. And so as we look further into this, the reason why possibility is so important is because possibility is fuel for potential. Possibility fuels potential. It fuels potential for the year ahead. How many of you ever make New Year's resolutions? How many make a resolution not to make another New Year's resolution? Let's see, you're more proud about that. There's those realist pessimists again, right? No, but we do that. Many of us go ahead and make New Year's resolutions all the time, even though we've never fulfilled one of them, because we want to dream, and we want to dream. So there's several different things. So possibility fuels potential for the new year. Possibility fuels potential for the future, and it also fuels potential for you as well. Now, I want to tell you something. If you do not think it's possible, you're correct. If you do think it's possible, you're correct. Your perspective and the belief in possibility is, they've proven that if you have to make a leap over like a cliff, believing you can do it helps you maybe achieve it. If you start and say, there's no way I can do that. Like Evel Knievel, anybody remember him? Man broke like, he has all the records he tried to do. He has the one record he has is the most broken bones. But Evel Knievel always believed he could do it. Did he? Occasionally. But most of the time, no. But he believed it. And that's why he didn't get to that corner. Remember State Canyon thing? That's where he didn't. Fonzie, okay, remember? Jumping over? Okay, so, yeah, Evel Knievel, Fonzie. All right, there's no way he could drive over. Forget it. Fonzie believed he could jump the shark. That's when Happy Days went this way. But anyway, if you believe something and you believe in the possibility it can happen, it greatly helps your chances. If you have the if you think it's impossible to happen, it will also come true. So your perspective, dreamer or realist, can help, but possibility helps fuel the fire there. There's several. Let me give you a couple examples of some of this as I look at my life. I remember several years ago, I worked for a small retirement community in marketing and PR when I graduated college. And I worked for this company, and they would have an annual a banquet, and it was pretty big. They had it at Hercules Country Club, I think that's what it was, and it was really nice, and they'd have that, and so they spent lots of money on it, and it was to bring in people to raise money, yes, but it also all kinds of things, and you would have some, like, local dignitaries that were there. Well, one day, I was the marketing and PR representative, and there was a marketing and PR manager, two different managers, so I kind of worked for them, and I remember one year, somebody said, what if we get somebody big? Like somebody that around here people really, really would recognize and like. And we were like, oh, okay. And then they started throwing out some of the more powerful, local, small names. And somebody threw out a name that piqued everybody's interest. Now we're talking right when Michael Jordan was really good. But somebody picked up a name and threw out the name, how about Julius Irving, Dr. J? Right? Anybody been around, know him? He was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan, right? Julius the Dr. Irving, if you ever went to the games, right? So when people said that would be awesome. And people are like, there's no way Dr. J is going to come to this group of retirement home. So people said, okay. So they planned normally, like the normal stuff that they usually did, which was nice. Well, the marketing, the PR manager said, well, let's go ahead and let's just send to his people to see if we can get somebody. And don't you know, they got a call back that Dr. J was interested. And you should have saw people scurry then. They made everything. The table decorations got a little bit better. The speakers, the other dignitaries, all of a sudden you had politicians from all over the place that couldn't wait to come to this banquet. You had people who never had gone in years. They were all there because the possibility was that Dr. J was going to be there. And you know what? He did. And it was amazing. And people were like, oh, Dr. J. And people had, you had grown people bringing in basketballs for him to sign. They were so excited because Dr. J, one of the greatest basketball players ever, were there. See, when the possibility that Dr. J was going to show up, the banquet got better. You with me here? Now, I know that's just a little basic one, but let me share with you another one that I think is even more real and more important. And I want to show you a picture here. Up here, of two men. Here they are. Anybody know who these guys are? Yes, Orville and Wilbur Wright. These are two guys who understood the power of possibility. They've impacted your life more than directly or indirectly, more than anybody. How many of you have ever gotten on an airplane and flown? Okay? How many of you ever bought something? Okay? Chances are, how many ever got something that was overseas? It either came from boat or was flown over. So anybody get prime delivery or any other kind of delivery, overnight delivery? Guess what? There's not somebody running real fast. They put it on a plane and got it to you. These two are responsible for that. And I want to tell you something. They had, I want you to think about this. Next time you sit on a plane, think the people that came up with this had no business ever coming up with that. They were bicycle shop owners who liked to spend their time bird watching and drawing pictures of birds. Not the ones that you think would be responsible for flight. Am I right? But they watched, and there was other people trying, people in France, people in England and Germany, all over the world were trying to do this. And one day, then, when they were sitting there watching and drawing birds in their, I guess, leaner bicycle shop days, they sat there and they watched, and they said, you know what? I think if we, you see how they're soaring and doing that part? I think if we make that adjustment, that we could probably do this. They contacted people to find out the windiest places, and they found out Kitty Hawk and went down to there. And wouldn't you know it, it was all over the paper that they flew 3 miles. Wow, what a trip, right? And that now has changed the world. I've been watching a show called Amazon called Inventions That Changed the World, and that talks about them doing this. It's very fascinating what they did, even to the design. And so what we see with them is you can trace all this back to the fact that they believed in that one day when they were drawing, they said, it's possible to do this. David McCullough wrote a book called The Wright Brothers, and he writes this, and I have it in your bulletin, but I also have it here. He said, in no way did any of this discourage or deter Wilbur or Orville Wright any more than the fact that they had, look at this, no college education, no formal technical training, no experience working with anyone other than themselves, no friends in high places, no financial backers, no government subsidies, and little money of their own, or the entirely real possibility that at some point they could be killed. Do you know how many people died going ahead and trying to fly? You got to love that. That the possibility of their death failed in comparison to the possibility that they could fly. And it's amazing when you see that. It's really funny. If you look into this some more, there was a guy named Samuel Langley who was a who's who of the day. He was an engineer of engineers. He was from a wealthy family that had ties to wealthy old English money back in England. And the government paid Samuel Langley $70,000. Now, we're talking 1800s. That's a pile of cash. $70,000 to learn how to fly, and he failed. One attempt, he took off, and he landed in the water. And the Boston Herald wrote that Professor Langley ought to give up airplanes and try submarines. The Brooklyn Eagle wrote this and led its story with this quote from a now-forgotten congressman who said, "You tell Langley for me, the only thing he ever made fly was government money." So you can tell, here's this guy, $70,000, all the training, all the intelligence, everything that he could have had. But it was two guys, two brothers who were bicycle shop owners, bird watchers, and drawers that with $1,000 changed the world because they believed it was possible. There's a great story right before this that one day there was a conference. It was with the United Brethren Church, and actually they're the one who joined with the Methodist Church that became the United Methodist Church. And one day this bishop was discussing philosophy with a college professor. And the bishop's opinion was that the millennium and Christ's reign was ahead. As evidence, he cited the fact that everything about nature had already been discovered and that all useful inventions had been made. The professor politely told the bishop that he felt he was mistaken. And he said, "Why, in a few years, bishop, we will be able to fly through the air." At that, the bishop looked at him and said, "What a nonsensical idea. Flight," he assured the professor, "is reserved for the birds and the angels." And they left, and the bishop went home to Ohio to his two small boys, Orville and Wilbur. Yes, it was Bishop Milton Wright whose kids were Orville and Wilbur. Possibility right under your nose, and yet you can't see that as many times. In the business world, one of the key elements that is vision. And business needs to look through the lens of possibility. Because often what I think we need to do is we need to have ownership in the land of possibility versus leasing in the land of reality. We live in between those two worlds all the time. But if you this year are having if you're part of a business, get people to catch a vision of what is possible with your business. As we shared several weeks ago in Good to Great, that is those people who said what is possible that they achieved the greatest. And those who stayed least and controlled to reality, they struggled or just never grew to the area that they needed to be. You can do this in your personal life as well. And in our church, that we look at what is possible with God. Through a Christmas Eve offering, I want to let you know that we received picture upon picture upon picture. 300 children were fed and had a Christmas party in Gracier, Haiti because of your gift. But not only 300 children. Yes, I did say 300 children. But then they also had an entire Christmas party for the entire church where they fed and gave out gifts and certain things to people that they need. That's the power of possibility. Because it was possible that one night you guys reached in and said, here we go. And created something incredible and different for someone's lives. My phone has not stopped ringing from Haitian numbers. I have no clue who they are. My mailbox is full of videos and pictures that I can't even figure out how to get off to put on somewhere. But what it's telling me, but it is filled with messages that just say, thank you so much. You've made such a difference in our lives. It's possibility. So we need to define reality, but we don't need to allow the reality to define us. So I want to ask this question. I want to ask this question of you right now. I think it's a good time to ask it. What do you think is possible for you in the new year? What do you think is possible for you in the new year? Like, what is possible in your health? What is possible? Is it possible to have financial freedom? Is it possible to have a better emotional life? Is it possible to have a stronger marriage relationship? Is it possible to have a deeper spiritual life? And if you believe it, it's correct. If you don't believe it, guess what? It's not correct. If you say, there's no way I'm going to get out of the financial situation I am, then guess what? You're right. If you say, there's no way my relationship can be restored, guess what? You're correct. If you say, there's absolutely no way that I'm ever going to get closer to God, you're right. But if you say, hey, I believe in the possibility that I can get out of this financial debt that I'm in, you're correct. If you believe that you can go ahead and have a deeper relationship with your children, with your spouse, with somebody else in your life, your parents, you're correct. It's the power of possibility in our lives. But even though this is an important question, and I could spend the rest of the time talking about this, I'm not going to. I've got a better question for you. And it's a higher question. And this question has significant impact on your life in this year and your relationships, your finances, and every other area, because the possibility is massive. And it's because who's involved with this question? Not what do you think, but what does God think is possible for you in this year? It's a huge question. And I'm going to tell you, I think I know the answer. Isn't that awesome? You actually get an answer from a pastor. It's not some churchy thing. It's an answer, but it will be churchy. So I want to challenge you to ask yourself that question specifically. I want you to say, Jack, what does God think that is possible for Jack in the new year? What does God think is possible for Chris? What does God think is possible for Bobby? What does God think is possible for me in this year? Ask it specifically. And if you're here or you're watching and you don't believe in God, that's okay. I'm glad that you're actually just listening, connecting. But I want to tell you something. God believes in you. And you might be surprised and intrigued that if you take some of this, that you can see that God is going to do something great. So let's look at this question. And ready? Here we go. Specifically, what is God want to do in my life? And I'm going to show you this list right here. Here it is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are a list of things. Every good New Year's resolution begins with these. Every single good resolution is here. And if you personalize it, it will be incredible. If you want to have better, well, if you want to have better financial things, then guess what? You may need to have some self-control and you may need to have some faithfulness to God. If you want to get better healthy, you better have self-control. And when that cake's on the table, slide it out this way, right? If you want to have better relationships, maybe you need to be kinder, or you need to be, here's a kid term, gooder, all right? You need to be a little bit more good. If you're tired of being frustrated and you have anxiety and all that stuff, maybe you need to be a little bit more patient in your life, okay? If your relationships are bad, maybe you just need to love more. If you're dealing with anxiety, maybe you just need joy a lot more in your life. You see, every good thing that can happen to you in this year, God's answer is this right here. It is a list of possibilities. All resolutions come from this. And it comes from the verse of scripture that was read for us. Here it is again, right here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You see, the possibility of these is that if I abide, it goes into the fruit of Spirit. It says, if I abide in Him and Him in me, it's all related in my relationship with Jesus, that if I get closer to Christ, then these start to manifest themselves more so. And you know, fruit's an interesting thing. Fruit takes a while to grow, doesn't it? Anybody ever planted a fruit tree? All right, done anything with fruit? It takes a while. You have to cultivate it. You have to put it in. You grow it. And then what happens? One day it grows off. And then say you pick it when it's ripe. And when you pick it when it's ripe, what if you just leave it around for a year? And so many of us may have experienced joy of the Lord and peace and patience on yesterday's fruit tree and ripeness, and it's become stale and rotten. That our relationship that once was vibrant and growth and filled and nourishing now becomes a stagnant smell that collects bugs. And that's how some of us have been living our Christian relationship. And so we want something better in a relationship. And he says, each and every day, all the time, you got to spend time with me. Because guess what? Yesterday's apples don't feed 3 years from now. You got to go back and pick them again the next day or the next day. Anybody ever seen one? I remember we had this pear tree in our yard when we were first married. And it would take forever for those pears to grow. But when you saw them and they were ready, you had more pears than you ever knew what to do with. Am I right? And you couldn't deal with them. And if you didn't get them up, bees would come. You get stung. And then they would just mush all over the place. And they would kill the ground underneath. So some of us need to be ready for the cultivation of fruit of what God has for us and that produce. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's the cool thing. The people in your life want you to have this. Let's look at this list again. Here's another list. The people, how many people in your life would love you to love more? How many people in your life would love you to have more joy? How many would love for you to have more peace in your life? What about patience? How many say, oh my gosh, please, God. How many would like you to just be more kind? How many would you just like to go out in public and people be more kind? What about just goodness for goodness sake? I'm not back to Santa Claus, don't worry. But what about people just being good because it's the right thing to do? Just be good, not for ulterior motives. What about a gentle spirit with someone? Like gentleness now, we don't look as a plus because gentle people get run over, don't they? What about self-control? If you look at our world, we don't have much of that, do we? We like excess and more and more. And what about just the faithfulness of God? That we just love God and want to spend time with God because He's God. Not because what He can do for us, but because He just is. Like last week we talked about how the wise men just knelt at a baby's feet because who He was. You see, the people in your life really, really want this for you because you annoy them. And they want this in your life, right? They want that. We all annoy them. But I want to share with you something very interesting about how to take this list. Because sometimes when we look at this list, we're like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. And I can't prove it, but I've always felt that one built upon the other. That you can never truly have joy unless you have love. You can never really have peace in your life unless you have joy. You can never have patience if you don't have peace. You see, so I kind of believe that it's kind of like this list. But I want you to do something. I want you to go ahead and And here's what I've heard from someone, and I really am making this my deal. I want you to pick one. Pick one. Choose one, and then apply it, maybe the whole year. Maybe you need a whole year. Maybe you just need a quarter of a year, but you need a whole year, some of us. Because some of us have had anxiety for so long, we don't know. So we want to know, which one are we going to pick? So for instance, say you choose love. Focus on the relationships to a completely different level. You choose love. And you may have a year or a quarter of a year to do that. So you say, which one? So that's kind of difficult. Which one am I going to do? Because I don't know about you, when I start to look at this list, I start to get even more overwhelmed and say, I need a little bit of work on all these. Anybody in that same boat with me? Okay. So what do you do? Well, I'm going to tell you what you do. And I've put this down here for you. Number one, I want you to ask a spouse. And after you do, say, just one. Just one, please. Okay, ask your spouse. Just one. Or someone who's close to you. If you're not married, somebody, a significant other, somebody who's really, really close to you. Because so you want you to ask your spouse. Ask a friend. Ask a friend. If you have a spouse and a friend, ask both of them. Ask a friend. A good friend. Not somebody who just doesn't want to, oh, yeah, you're wonderful. I just think. No, I say, I want to really know which one of these lists do you think I need to work on the most. They will tell you if they're a good friend. All right? So, ask a friend. Ask a group. If you're in a small group, ask that. If you're not in a small group, get in one and start to ask them. All right? There's a women's Bible study that's going to be in the morning. We have groups throughout the year. Our worship team, we look at that as a small group. Men's group, all those groups are different ones. Some of you just group together. Some of you actually go to a small group at different people's houses. Go ahead, group together, form a relationship, and ask them, which one do you think? Because the good thing is, in that small group atmosphere, in your friend atmosphere, in your spouse atmosphere, you can say, in 3 months, I want you to tell me how I'm doing. And you're going to get a response. Because you know what? Fruit also needs to be pruned and cultivated as well. So we have that. So ask that one. And the last thing that you want to do is you want to ask God. And get your consensus. Get your consensus down. And then you have an interesting little list. So what do I do in 2019 now? What do I do? Here's 2019. I've got this. I hear this. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe it'll happen, you're correct. If you do believe it'll happen, you are correct. I can't do this for you. I'm going to have enough problem doing my own here. But you've got to, if you really want to do it and you see the possibility, I need to get better in my relationships so I'm going to love more. Or I just need joy in my life. Because I go through the motions, but there's not joy there. If you believe that you'll never have joy, guess what? You won't. You're correct. If you believe that you will have joy, you can. So you ask a spouse, ask a friend, ask your group, and ask God. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to choose one. Go ahead, choose one. Commit to growth. Commit to growth. Sometimes you need fertilizer on you to grow. Take that wherever you want, all right? And connect to others. You see, when you choose one, this week I want you to decide one that you're going to focus on this year. When you commit to growth, I want you to say, how am I going to do that? What is going to be the action plan that I'm going to do to love more? If it's to go ahead and be better financially, if I want to be better financially, you know what? I'm going to take that step of faith and I'm going to join Financial Peace. I'm going to do that because I want to have the skills to go ahead and be able to be different. Because guess what? What I've been doing now has not been working. And if you, the definition of sanity is continually doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If that's how your relationships and all your relationships are broken and you're going to go in with the same mentality that you had before, then you're going to end up in the same situation you are this year. If you have a relationship with a child that's not so good and you've taken this one approach for years and it's not working, guess what? Get some love, get some joy, get some peace. Find out on one of them. Maybe you just start with love. And you, instead of dealing with an authoritative view, maybe you just decide, right now I just want to love on them. If you're dealing with somebody at work who's just miserable, and you have no patience with them, maybe you just need to start to have love and start to begin to pray for them and let God open your mind and connect with others. Discuss this in your small groups and spur one another on. those of you who are in small groups, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you throughout the year sporadically. How's your list? How's your fruit? How's it going? I want to ask you, and I want people to ask me as well. So in planning for this, and again, I'm going to go ahead and be an open book here. I know that's shocking for all you. But in planning for this, I went ahead and I asked my spouse and my children, and I asked my friends, people who have known me for years, and I went ahead and asked people who I consider in my group of things, and I asked them questions. And I said, which one of these do you think I need to work on and see more in my life? And they were all over the place, but because there's several. But there were two that were extremely consistent. And the two of those, and so I'm just waiting on God to see which one. But I think because if I truly hold on to my belief of that they are a list that build, I need to work on the first before I work on the second. So I may work on one beginning of the year and work on one on the second year. Now, those of you who know me just from here may be shocked at some of them. But the first one is simply this: joy. That's the first one, joy. People say, really, Jack, you're a pretty jovial, kind of happy-go-lucky guy. And just to let you know, there's a lot of times in my life where I'm not so joyful. That in the presence of God and doing things, it's all good. But I can tell you there's times where it's a lonely life at times. There's a time where I don't feel like I'm in the worship mode where it's just me and Jesus on the Jericho Road. There's not room for any more, just me, Jesus, and you. You know, that kind of old song. That's, you know, and but there's times in my life where, as Pastor Bill Hybel said one time, that the work of God is killing the work of Christ in me. That you're beat down by the wages. Looking at two people who are facing death to start this first of the year is what I'm looking at. Two people, one who's on one side, young, and one who's older, and recognizing that somehow I'm going to have to help be a presence of Christ in that, and recognize what that takes, but also recognize that in the midst of that is my own grief and my own loss and my own confusion, and deal with those things. Okay, so those things are there, and that's real. But what we learned about joy is not a circumstance. It is a state of mind that whatever happens, the disciples were joyful when they were beaten for the cause of Christ. And that's something Jack has to work on in his life. So joy is going to be number one on the list. And the second one is peace. Because if you don't have joy in certain situations, you're certainly not going to have peace. Okay, they build upon each other. So you understand, I'm being an open book for you right now. So I want you. So when you see me, I want you to go up and see me. You see me out in public, say, Joy, how's it going? And I'll say, I'm not too happy right now. Don't ask me. Get out of my face. But it'll cause me to help work on those things. You know what I mean? Because we've lost the gift of accountability in the church. Like we've got to move. What I want to see us move to in Christendom is move from the institution that we become to being the relationship group that Christ intended us to be, the family of God. Is what we need to be more so. And I know, I don't know about you, but when my family comes in, my family will say, I don't have to hide who I am from my family all the time. They don't hide from me. I know them, they know me. Matter of fact, my kids had a consistent one, which is down the list, so we'll work on that later. But what I'm saying is they know me. We've gotten into this deal where we like to put on airs in the church when we need to be people who are broken and come to a Savior who connects us together. All right, so right now what I want you to do, we're going to ask the worship team to come up as we close up, because one of the things that we know is from Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, for nothing is impossible with God. So if you say it's not possible, guess what? You're going against Scripture. Nothing is impossible without God, and because all things are possible, and He is a good, good Father. All things good come from Him, and God believes this is possible for you. In Mark 9, it's funny, when people asked Jesus if He could do something, Jesus walked over to them and they said to Him, if you can, will you heal my son? If you can you heal my daughter? And Jesus looked at him and he said, if I can? I can see him saying, you talking to me? You're talking to me. You're talking to me. Okay, so if I can, he said, all things are possible for the one who believes. In your life, what is the possible thing that you need for this year? What does God want to see as possible in you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And again, it says, against these things, there is no law. The only thing that's going to stop you from them is you and the power of impossibility. All right? So that's going to wrap up this year. Get up. One more time. Get up. Maybe energy needs to be on that list. There we go. All right? So, God, here you are. You are a good, good Father. We need you. And you want to give us these fruits of the Spirit. But, God, instead of us looking at those, let us pick one. Let us dive deep. Let us grow. And the people in our lives are going to be happy and say, oh, my gosh, what did you do with that person in my life? And they can say, hey, God just saw a possibility in me that I never saw. So, God, all things are possible. All things are possible for those who believe. We right now may be struggling. I'm always going to deal with depression. I'm always going to deal with addiction. I'm always going to deal with it. And you say, no, no. Jesus, if you can. And you say, are you talking to me? You know I can. All things are possible for the one who believes. Help us to believe right now, God, as our altar is open for this last time as a corporate church here today. But God, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what you have prepared for those who love and who believe in the power of possibility. The Wright brothers, their father who was a man of God, who trusted in you, never saw the power of possibility that resided in his own house and his two small children. And yet they changed the world. People never saw the power of possibility in fishermen and tax collectors. And yet they saw possibility of a world under the risen Savior and Lord. God, there's those of us here today that we're not seeing the possibility in our lives, but you see it in us. All things are possible. In your name we pray. Amen.
Bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, it's where you are. Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh, and Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Teach my soul to rise to you. when temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
When I cannot stand,
I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
All right, all together.
Lord, I need you.
Oh, I need you.
Every hour.
Every hour, I need you. I want
perfect transitional song, huh? Because we need him every hour. Doesn't matter whether it strikes 12 when the ball drops or the apple or whatever the heck it is now. He's still the same. Those of you old enough remember Y2K when everybody freaked out? And we just saw the ball drop and went back about our business? Yeah. All these things fell in comparison to God. Next week we're going to start a 4-week series, okay, called The Word Written. We're going to talk about the Word of God. And so we're going to go there. So the Word Written, and what a better way to start the year than launching off of our foundation, which is Scripture. And so we'll have a good time there. And most of all, have a happy and safe new year. As 2019, you'll mess that up on your checks and everything else for a while. But have a great one. It is the year of the pig. Oink, oink. Okay, all right, have a good one. God bless.